and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living will. Sanctuary for you. Amen and amen and amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3. We'll begin with verse 1. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. We have an update on Brother Ron Spencer. He's still having troubles with his lungs. And so they want to, you know, they're putting him on medication for that and things that are bothering him. And then Matthew, the boy, they found out that they're going to have to do a surgery on his shoulder. So just remember these, the announcement, the thing is up here, the kind of an update. So just keep them in your prayers. Brother Ron's had a long battle and probably will have a long one to go yet about the thing. So just keep him in your prayers and just remember that. I'm pretty sure, I know Sister Longoria is supposed to have an operation. I think it's Thursday. So remember that and be much in prayer for her, that the Lord would be with her. Revelation 3. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you, Father, for being who you are. Because without you, what good would we be? Without you, we wouldn't be here anyway. Father, we thank you. And we ask you to just guide each one of us now. Bless those that are not here. Remember the sick, the needy, Lord, and things. And just have your way. Remember Brother Spencer, our Lord, and just be with him and bring him on out of this. And Father, remember Brother Sister Longoria is facing an operation. And just remember that. Have your way with each and every one. As we read your word, now you come and speak to our hearts and deliver us from ourselves that we may be able to walk in you. Have your way now. Forgive us, Father, when we fail you, and we know we do. But just cleanse us and keep us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3:1-6. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. For they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, if you will, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, and you may need to bring them for the next two or three services. But if you will, bring your church age book, will you? Because Wednesday night we'll probably be doing a lot of reading out of the church age book. So if you will, bring your church age book. If you don't, you forget them. Then we have some extra ones. We've just ordered some more. We have some if you need any church age books to give out and things. We just got a new order in on that. All right. Now remember also that the Lord willing, this coming weekend, this coming Saturday, will be the fellowship meeting at Brother J.T. Pageant. So remember that and be much in prayer. 3:30 Saturday afternoon, we will be leaving Wade's house, the Lord willing, about 10 o'clock if you want to go. Because when you get up into there now, you've got the Apple Festival to deal with and a lot of stopping and starting. So if you want to go, come on, we got two vans and plenty of extra cars. So we'll be glad for you to go along with us and have a good time fellowshipping. It don't generally cost you anything because they generally have a supper for us and we generally always just pay for everybody's lunch going up. So, you know, it won't cost you nothing. Just come and go with us if you want to have a good time. Brother Ernie Villanueva will be speaking at the fellowship meeting and then I reckon he's going to be there, as far as I know. The Sunday service is at Brother Pageant's. He will be at Brother Dutch Scott's on Tuesday, and then he will be here on Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday, on the 24th. And the Lord willing, he and I will be leaving on the 25th, Thursday afternoon, to go to Brazil, and we'll be there through about the, be back in about the 7th of November. So just remember these and keep us in prayers and in your prayers and all, that the Lord would guide each and every one of us and lead us. Now, we've been trying to take, you know, the church ages and things. We went through Revelations 1. This is just a study on the book of Revelations that we've started into, and this is message number 15 on the book of Revelations. And so, you know, we've tried to go through, and we took quite a while to cover the first church age and what was to be revealed. And you remember God said, "Now, John, I've got you here, but I want you to know who I am before I reveal to you what's going to be the future." And that was what John was going to do, was get the future time for down through the seven church ages, and, you know, not only through the ages, he would be shown all the way to the future home coming forth in Revelations 21 and 22. All right. So then, you know, it's a continuation or a continual revelation. So we went through that, and we went to the point of going to see that Revelations 1 covers the bride up to where that she's sitting on the throne with him at the white throne judgment. All right, now that's where your prophet takes it to, you know, girt about the pouch, showing it's the bride, one like unto the Son of Man, showing it's feminine, one like him. But it's the same as Daniel with the one that come to the Ancient of Days, one like the Son of Man. And then it goes all the way to the judgment, because no longer is he down here in the service. It's up on the shoulders and coming to the top and the judgment. Now, that's what your prophet said about it, so I believe it. And what I had a wonderful opportunity there for me to see is that before he would show us anything about the ages and the time upon earth, he would show that the bride is already in glory. Not meaning that we're gone now, but he shows her where she sits in glory with him. So how can we fail here? Now sure, we may have a lot of problems, and we do. But God don't look at the problems. See? He looks whether or not you're an overcomer. And how can you be an overcomer? By being in Jesus Christ by the new birth. Makes you an overcomer. See, and in that, then God starts right off showing us the word that we can't fail. Alright? Now, but then, see, he comes back to earth in chapter 2, and he starts showing what the ages is taking place. And he's showing how that we, now listen, he's showing how that we get to the position of chapter 1. Amen. See, chapter 2 and 3 deals with the church ages, and then you go into the 4 and 5, and we haven't got there yet, but this we'll continue on. But see, it shows, chapter 2 and 3 shows how that we get to the place that we can sit with him in the judgment and not have to stand before him at the judgment. See, it was always taught to us, you know, and I want to pick up a little bit maybe one of these days on that, but it's always been taught to us that we all had to go to white throne judgment, you know. Then the other side, we all had to go to purgatory. Well, we found out purgatory don't exist, you know. It's a Catholic doctrine. So it's a Catholic doctrine that we all have to go to the white throne. But now we're going to have to get back and cover a little bit. I know it was misunderstood some, and all about the white throne judgment differing from the judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. And we'll try to cover that one of these days when we get an opportunity, because it seems to not be understood. But I'll say it this way, and then I'll end this part until I get back to it. You better hope and pray. See, some of you don't believe that there'll be a bema judgment, which is a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad, by the bride. You don't believe in it. But I'll tell you this way. You better believe in it. Because what if you had a wrong thought or a wrong sin, and then you immediately killed? That would mean you was going to hell. You're teaching a Methodist doctrine and don't know it. So you would immediately go to hell because you'd be a sinner. So you better believe that there is a judgment of the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. I'll just put it that way and then I'll get back to it eventually. Because you better believe in it. I certainly do. Because if you have one thing wrong, you got a problem. Somewhere that one wrong got to be rectified. All right, so then take that from me and just move on with it. All right, but now listen. We've been talking about how the church ages, how that there is a salutation or a greeting to each church age. He always starts off greeting the church age. The angel of the church at Ephesus, the angel of the church at, you know, Smyrna, you know. Each church age gets a greeting, which is a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. And it's the same as the prophet covers in the church age book of what he called the sevenfold glory of his person. Right. So it's revealing Jesus Christ. Amen. But in the church ages, he's revealing Jesus Christ in the church. Right. He's done revealed himself in human flesh upon the earth through Jesus Christ, right? In the church ages, now he's revealing, the prophet said, himself in the church. Amen. Go back and read the church age book and then get the church age series and read it related to the church age book. If some people don't like church age book, they say it's wrong, but I haven't found anything wrong with it yet, so that's all right. But everybody's got all these 36 or 17 contradictions. They haven't handed me one yet. I'm just putting it that way. Because they want to come up and say, well, we got the... But that's just their remarks. To show you how carnal some people, and I don't mean this wrong, but Wade and I were hunting with a man one time that he believed that Brother Lee Vail's wife wrote the church age book. And he said he wasn't going to read what no woman wrote. I said, brother, I said, she typed it up. She typed it up for him, and they was a sister typed it up, and they got it together and put it out. He said, but I've been told that she wrote it. Well, see? That's right. That's how easy a doctrine gets started. A saying.
That's right. Amen.
All right. Come show me where the church age book is wrong. Right. I'll show you a lot of good stuff in the church age book.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. I'll show you a lot of good, and you show me a lot of bad. Maybe we can tear out some pages. And the man himself that even put out the church age book, Brother Lee Vail, said he wished he hadn't said some things in there the way he said them, but said Brother Brown said, put it that away. Now that's his words. I heard him.
Right.
He said, I don't agree with his oneness language. Well, that's all right. I agree with his true oneness language.
Amen.
Not a denominational oneness. All right, we'll get away from that. But see, each church age now gets a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. But each church age, now I keep saying this to where you'll remember it and it'll help you. Each church age inherits what preceded them. And you remember that? See? So Paul is the first church age messenger. Each church age late going through there was supposed to pattern after Paul. And pattern after Paul's revelation. That was what it's supposed to be. Now, not saying they didn't get away from it, because they did. But at least the prophet come through and said that's the way he chose the messengers, the ones that was closest related to Paul's message.
Right.
See, each age precedes, you know, or gets the revelation of it in that. And then the Bible says, Revelation 21:7, we receive all things.
Right.
So in the church, seventh church age, we get the revelation of the entire deity of each church age.
Right.
But we also get the reward. Now, each church age gets the reward. It's not just a reward to the first church age, and then the second church age gets a different one, and the third a different one, and a fourth a different one. Now we all get the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we all get the reward. When we get there, we'll have all the rewards they speak of. But you know what? When we get there, they'll receive all the rewards also. It's not at Paul, it's not at Luther's going to be, you know, that's one thing I want to get on today. It's not at Luther's going to be sitting there saying, well, I got about a half a suit of clothes. I guess the rest of y'all got your beautiful white garments. It says right there, there were a few names in white garments in the fifth church age. All right, I only know what white garments is to me, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because this is the statement I want to make. It wasn't the Holy Ghost that was ate down in the ages, it was the Word. The Holy Ghost was in, and the prophet made a whole point in the church age book about it, and I gave it to you over and over where it was the same Holy Ghost in every church age. All right? Now, the Holy Ghost can only work according to what amount of words you have. We know that. But it wasn't the Holy Ghost that was ate down, it was the Word. All right? So now when we get back to that in a minute, you pay close attention. All right? See, now, the reward to the age and the overcomer is related, the message to the age, the revelation of the deity, and the reward to the overcomer is related together. All right? And see, what did we find in the fourth church age, which is the Dark Ages, right? The Dark Ages, which was your fourth church age and down through there. That was the Dark Age of Time. All right? Now, but being the Dark Age of Time, what was her reward? That I'll give you the morning star. Now, according to the prophet, the morning star and the evening star is the same. If you don't agree with that, you know, in the terms of the world, but you can go out there and find out that they'll tell you that's true. See, the morning star is the evening star. It's just a position in the heavens. All right? Now, see, then being the morning star, look what he said. He didn't say, I'll give you the evening star. Because if he gave the evening star, that meant darkness was going to continue. No, but to the fourth church age, he said, I'll give you the morning star. Why? Because the fifth church age strikes the just shall live by faith. See, it's the morning. Meaning daylight is coming. Your morning star means that the sun is fastly approaching. Light is coming. Alright? So then if the revelation holds true then, see, that the prophet said, you're coming out of the dark ages. The just shall live by faith was the message that brought the bride out of the dark ages. Alright? See, and that was the promise. Now, each church age messenger had a message. Where do we get to it in a minute, in case I don't get that far? Where do we get to it in a minute when the prophet gave you the exact date that Martin Luther nailed his message, which was his, 70-something thesis, 90-something thesis he nailed to the Catholic door? That was his message. Because he declares on earth, the just shall live by faith. That ended the dark ages. Now that's what your prophet said. Now that didn't end the killing, that didn't end the problem. It ended the fact that there was the message of light.
Right. Amen.
The morning star is shining then.
Right.
We're over in the evening time, yeah. But just remember, this dark, it's not going into darkness in the evening time.
Right.
You're going into Goshen.
Right.
The world went into darkness in 1977.
Right. Amen.
They went into darkness total. But the bride entered into Goshen.
Right.
And will be able to walk in the light. Alright, so then each one of them, we inherit what is before us.
Right.
Or what's before us speaks of the coming.
Right.
Alright, like in, I'll get them wrong, I know, but I'll state it this way. Brother Brown said that in the statement was made by, Columba, that you may kill a duck. But a swan will come forward. One or the other, something like that. See, each church age messenger knew there was something else going to happen.
Right.
You may kill us and put us in the ground, but there'll come a time.
Right.
There'll be a rising of the sun.
Amen.
The morning star will shine.
Right.
And I believe that. All right, now. Notice the revelation is always in relationship to what the condition is. And the overcomer is in relationship to what's going on. Alright? Now, see? The revelation of Jesus Christ given to this age. So now let's read start off on a quote before we get on to the, start the actual message of the age. So look at number one on your notes, which is from the Sardisian church age, however you pronounce it, the church at Sardis. paragraph 71. And so, Sardis now, we start out. The very word Sardis, the first verse, the word Sardis, in the English terms means, if you want to look it up, means the escaped ones. The true Sardis was the escaped ones. That's what Sardis means. All right, the escaped ones. Now see, and the escaped ones. Now we're going to start on the first, we're going to call it the Age of Reformation. It's a very fitting thing for this Reformation if we should call it that, because it's the Reformation was the escaped ones that come out and escaped out of it. See? So when Luther started preaching the just shall live by faith, the church was sure it was a Reformation. It was a Reformation. But just remember, it was light. It was the truth of the just shall live by faith. Sure, Martin Luther had a lot of things. But you don't have to give an account for the things he had no understanding of. See? Alright? But he had a lot of things. He brought out a lot of things. He brought out the Catholic doctrine of baptisms, etc. He brought out the Catholic doctrine of the Godhead. Sure he did. But at least he escaped out of the darkness. Now, where do we get to this afternoon about the darkness? I think I've got it on the evening. It may be in this morning. See, just find out, what is darkness? Well, the sun's gone down. No. If you're not born again, your soul is black as soot, which is the darkness you can be in. And watch what we'll get to in a minute when we get to the escape one. Let me just say it this way. What did they escape out of? Now, but what did the church, what did Luther and them escape out of? He said, well, it was out of the Catholic doctrine. What doctrine was it? What doctrine was it that was the worst thing? The Trinity, the purgatories, the... No. We were all... He said, well, you're sure an odd preacher, because that's what I thought they escaped out of. They escaped out of death. The darkness of Satan. What is the darkness of Satan? I'm going to say it, and no matter why, I'll get back to it, or this evening one. The Catholic Church, it's not the problems of their doctrine. I'll read you where Brother Brown says, don't worry about it. Just continue on. Now he's talking about the Lutheran. Don't worry about it. Doctrines is bad. It'll kill you. But you know the worst doctrine that I can think of? What is the worst doctrine you could think of? Or the Trinity, or eternal hells, or purgatories, or... That's not the worst doctrine that could ever be thought of. Because it wouldn't be related to Luther's message. Luther's message was the just shall live by faith. Do you know what the worst doctrine is that's still bothering you and me today, and anybody listening? Now, I didn't leave nobody out, okay? What was the problem with the Catholics? Why wasn't it that Luther attacked the Godhead? We said, well, he didn't know. You don't understand. Luther did not want to leave the Catholic Church. I've got his own writings. He wanted to reform the church. Now show me the doctrines he was against. Well, he was against purgatory. He didn't know that hell wasn't eternal, so he couldn't be against that, because he believed it was. What's the worst doctrine that you and I have today? And then you'll see Luther's message and why it strikes home. The Catholic Church taught salvation by works. Come on. Salvation by works. That's what Martin Luther was against. He was against salvation as a form of works. His thesis didn't attack the Godhead. His thesis didn't attack purgatories and etc. His thesis attacked works as a form of salvation, because God had revealed to him that the just shall live by faith, and he wrote on the side of his Bible, alone. Works is supposed to be faith expressed. Amen. We believe that. But works don't save you. Works is supposed to be an outward manifestation of an inward work of grace. Amen. We believe that. But works don't save you. Well, if I'd have been as bad as Brother Dale, God would have never saved me. Or I'm glad I wasn't as, you know, I'm glad I wasn't as bad as Brother Colley or Brother Tom or somebody, because I'd probably never got saved. The human mind of a human being, from mine to yours, and everybody's listening, our human abilities, we want to do something to save ourselves. We think because we didn't do, you know, certain things, that God saved us. We think because we did do certain things, maybe God saved us. Do you see what Martin Luther's message was? The just shall live by faith alone. And he didn't teach against works. Works is to follow your salvation. If it doesn't follow your salvation, you don't have salvation. If the Christian life doesn't follow our lives, then we're not Christians. The just is not living by faith. Are you listening? So Martin Luther's message struck the church there of the just shall live by faith. And you know that he taught it so strong, and people got so strong in it, they started burning down the Catholic buildings and things. And Martin Luther said, I didn't mean that. They were so much against them things, but they didn't get Martin's spirit, you know, the spirit of Martin Luther. They just come into that and saw that it was wrong. Go get the thesis and show me. Where did he attack the Godhead, or he attacked the purgatories, or the things like that? He didn't even want to do away with these sacraments and the things. He wanted people to get away from trying to work their way to heaven, or a penance. Or what is that word? What's the condolence? Is that, how do you pronounce that? Indulgence. In other words, paying your way. Something you could pay, you know, and then go do. And people got where they'd sell indulgence, and people go out and kill each other. I said, well, I got the papers here. I'm all right. Works. Salvation is not works. It's salvation first, then works follow. The life follows your salvation. You say, if I could just get good enough. I remember me and Danny, he was telling about dinner fishing that time when his boat got hung up. You remember the story? And we were sitting there, and I looked over at him, and he said, we got to get this boat off this stump. I said, your boat. In other words, anybody getting in the water, it's going to be you. Your boat. But he also remembers what we're talking about. And through, maybe not that night, but we've talked like Danny used to say, but Brother Dale, I'm just not good enough. No. A lot of you have told me that. I'm just not good enough. You cannot be good enough to be saved. If you could be good enough to be saved, you wouldn't need salvation. All right? So salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then your works follows your faith. If you don't live like a Christian, you're not a Christian. That's plain language. People say, Brother Dale, don't preach enough on some of these things. How much plainer can I put it? How much closer can it be done? But listen, the escaped ones, they escaped out of the darkness of Satan. The darkness of Satan was the Catholic Church that had brought everything down to a join the church, pay your money, and buy indulgence, and everything's fine. All of it was pure works. Look why they were so much against Martin Luther. A lot of people protested the Catholic Church before Martin Luther ever come along. Huss and different ones protested the church, but it didn't have no effect on them. You know why? Because they didn't preach the just shall live by faith. They preached against this and against that, against the purgatories, against... Luther didn't preach against that. He preached against the fact that you thought being good made you saved.
Amen.
Look what a light that was. Look what that fourth church age showed. The morning star is shining. The fifth church age struck out with that light and began to go forth. All right. Get on that. Get what I want to say. All right. I'll probably come back to that later, maybe tomorrow, maybe this afternoon or sometime. But listen. See, the salutation or the revelation to the age shows they were going to escape. The salutation to the age showed that they were going to escape. So we'll look at verse 1 now, third chapter. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. That's all people want to deal with, that life part of it. You got a name that you're living, but you're dead. They don't even deal with the first part. Sure, they had a denominational name. But you know, it took a while to have a denominational name of Lutheran. So what's he talking about? Sure, they were dead. But what's the message to the age to show that they would be able to escape? The message to the age is that just shall live by faith. Faith is a revelation. Right?
Amen.
Faith is a revelation.
Right.
All right? As I said, Luther never got the revelation of the deity. He never caught it, but he caught one thing. The just shall live by faith. And you know what that was? That Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In that church age, brought him the message of the just shall live by faith. Now, it didn't bring him the revelation of God being one God. It wasn't time. But it brought him the revelation of the just shall live by faith. That would have to be tied to Paul. Come on. The message of the just shall live by faith is exactly the same message Paul taught. Because Paul was against people saying works as a form of salvation. What did he say, I believe? Is it right where he said, oh foolish Galatians, you know, where he's talking to him, he said, have you become so perfect by your works, in other words? Tell me you that desire to the Galatians to be back under the law. See? Paul talking to the Galatians now, right there in the early church. And talking about they were trying to be saved by their works, because that's what the Catholic Church taught, was going to teach, the doctrine coming through. So it started as a deed back there. Isn't that the same thing, now listen, as what the Old Testament people taught? So you see why they wanted to go back under the law. Now the Galatians didn't want to go back to offering sacrifices, all this, that, and the other. No, don't get it confusing now. They didn't want to go back to sacrifices. Come on, your Galatians, the letter was written to the Galatians, which means they're written to Christians. But the Christians in Galatia had already was beginning to lean back to their law. What was law? Works. That's why Paul said, the thing I thought was life. Come on. Am I in the Bible? Paul said, what I thought was life, I found to be death. When Brother Branham said the Old Testament, the Word was God in letter form. Now show me how that could be death. What's Paul talking about? It's when you think that something you do or don't do under the law could save you. That was what was wrong with the Pharisees. Come on, the Pharisees standing before the Lord Jesus. We keep Moses' law to the letter. Brother Branham said they did. Because if they didn't, they could be killed. See, the Galatians, once they got born again, they were leaning back to a work of law or works. Right there in the very beginning, the deeds of the Nicolaitans begin to creep in. All right. So what are you saying, Brother Dale? The message to the church age at Sardis, which was the fifth church age, was what? One that Luther didn't fully understand, but he knew it was the Holy Spirit that revealed the just shall live by faith. You following me? He knew that. And he knew that that was what Paul preached. Come on, Luther knew that he was preaching justification. Maybe not in the depth Paul preached it. Yeah, we know that. But yet he knew the revelation of the just shall live by faith. That was his salvation. And to the rest of the people of that age, their salvation was what? Not just a bunch of rules or a ritual or a church joiner or a Lutheran denomination or what. But it was the just shall live by faith. The new birth of the age proves what you are. And it's the birth of Jesus Christ. But look what the message is. Unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits. Now who's talking? Over in the fourth church age it says, these things saith the Son of God. Who's this talking? The Son of God. To who? It's in red letter if you got a red letter Bible. The whole church ages is in red letter because it's God's message to the church. Firstly appearing to John. But listen. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now we know who the stars are. That's the messengers to the age. All right. But what is the seven spirits? Is there seven gods? Now Trinitarians don't even believe that. They just believe in three. Why does it say seven spirits of God? The Bible says God is a spirit. Come on. That's your Bible? It says God is a spirit. Not seven spirits. Alright? So you see the point now? The message to the age shows the just shall live by faith. Because the just shall live by faith, by a revelation, by the Holy Spirit. Alright? Now Luther didn't understand probably about the seven spirits. He probably wondered what was, you know, even if he'd got a hold of it and read it. We know he couldn't, but I'm talking about he read it in the They didn't have it in book form by the time Luther come along. That's when it began to be brought down. They had it in the Vatican manuscripts, etc., and what little bit could be brought out. You know, the Latin and Vulgate is what I'm trying to say. See, and Martin Luther could read that. He'd say, that's kind of funny. That's kind of a funny age. Now, didn't Brother Branham say that he always wondered about that seventh angel? Right? Well, don't you think Luther would have probably wondered about the fifth one? I'm just saying, maybe they caught some of it. There when we was on the name given to the messenger of the age. Brother Brown said, I wonder if Luther and him caught that. But Martin Luther couldn't understand the seven spirits in correct order because he was a Trinitarian. But still, the message to the age showed it would be the same Holy Spirit in each church age. The same one Holy Spirit. But the same one Holy Spirit to be in each church age, made manifest by the messenger of that age to deliver to the people, and then the message being delivered to the people brought them to the same Holy Spirit. Now, am I right when the prophet said, like he said, the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostals, and now sitting in order to the coming of the Lord? But you see, people don't believe Luther and them had the Holy Spirit. Come on. You want me to call names? A lot of people today would say that Luther and them didn't have the Holy Spirit. Well, your prophet said they did, so who's lying? Brother Dale, you shouldn't put it that blunt. Why not? Plain truth. At least you're not deceived by me. Prophet said if you try to soft show something to people of this, said they don't understand. He said just say it like it is. If that Holy Spirit was not in Luther's age to give a new birth, then they didn't have the new birth. So they're lost. Come on, but if it was there to give them a new birth of justification, then it makes it exactly right what it says that the cell over in, we'll get to it in just a minute, over in Revelation 1, where it says the one in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So that mist must mean he's just the same Holy Ghost in every church age. Because if not, then the doctrine of the people of the message would be wrong that said he was the Holy Ghost in the first church age and the Holy Ghost in the last church age and nothing in between. So now you're out of the Bible. Sorry. Because my Bible said he's in the mist. So if you're going to be just as carnal, then my Bible would tell me he's in more in Luther's age than he is now. If you're going to be that carnal. You see where it shows up when somebody really knows what they're talking about. But midst means middle, which means he was in each church age. The same Holy Ghost that was in the first church age. We're going to read it in just a minute. Is the same Holy Ghost that walked on the shores of Galilee was the same Holy Ghost in the Apostle Paul. The same one that was in Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, and Elijah in the last day. Same Holy Ghost. It's not seven spirits. It's one spirit made manifest through seven church ages. All right, now let's read that. There was somebody on tape. All right. 248, church age book. Once again, as in the previous four ages, the Spirit is revealing our gracious Lord to us by setting forth His wonderful attributes. This time He is standing in the midst of the church. We see Him as the one with the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. We know who the stars are, but we will have to find what the seven spirits refer to. Right. Don't I go right on down. Look at the next one, which is Revelation chapter 4. Part 2, Throne, which is in your Church Age Individual Series, 1961-108. Now the voice is the voice of the seven trumpets. There were voices of seven stars, seven messengers, but now watch here. And seven lamps before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now we're going to get to it in a minute. That's another scripture. That's not Revelations 3-1. We'll get to it in a minute where this seven spirits of God is mentioned four times in the book of Revelation. All right. Now watch it. Seven lamps. There's seven lamps, there's seven candlesticks, there's seven, it's all, everything's in a seven, right? Let's draw a little bit here, the throne, the holy place, the congregation. Right here was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, seven stars, seven lamps, seven messengers, seven spirits. Not altogether meaning that God's in seven spirits, but seven manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. Now, if you're going to argue about whether it's right in the church age book or not, then this is not in the church age book. It's the individual series. Okay? So you're arguing with Brother Brennan. Where's the Holy Spirit? Here at the throne, shining out in each church age. This church is reflecting back this away the voices of God. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. See, seven. There were voices and seven lamps on fire. Seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven lamps, seven spirits, seven angels. See? Everything comes up into a seven. Why? Because it's complete. Going down. Which is the Sardinian church age now. Individual book, 60, 1209. Preached on Friday. Now let's take the first verse. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that has seven spirits of God and seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now the salute, or the salutation, that's what it is. The seven spirits. The seven spirits and the seven stars. The spirits was the angels that went to the stars, which were messengers, seven spirits. Now listen. Seven different times the Holy Spirit would anoint a messenger, which was a star in his day. A spirit is eternal. And the star that was made for a purpose to reflect light in the dark of these church ages where candles and stars are represented. The angel, the spirit, was the one that went to the star and reflected the light of the Holy Spirit through the star to that church age. That you might wonder who the seven spirits are. It's the messengers of the seven church ages, see now. And each time that the star came in on the scene, the Holy Spirit came down and anointed that star and kept it just exactly like the first was. First one was. Now what's he saying? There's not seven spirits of God. No more than there's seven gods. It's the seven times God used a church age messenger and the spirit was upon the messenger. Who taught Luther that the just shall live by faith? Sure wasn't the Catholic Church. Well, they hated it when he caught that. The devil today hates just what I said a while ago. To you and me. Me and you. That we still think today that we're something goody-goody because of something we've done or didn't do. I don't encourage doing wrong. Alright? I think it's wrong to do wrong. I don't encourage to do wrong. But you know what the thing? Those that are forgiven most love the most. Right? Is that the Bible? Alright? But now let's go on. Let's read one more. Let's see, I've got number 70. 73. All right, let's go to number 5. Now, most of this is just a continuation right through the book, but yet some of it I left out little things in between. And you go read in between and see if it's right or not. All right. Number 5 on your note, Sardinian Church Age, which will be paragraph 76 and 77. That's why the little 5 and the arrows run down your page, see, to connect you to 2. Paul was the one who constrained them to be rebaptized if they hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Coming to be baptized over again in order to receive the Holy Ghost, Acts 19:5. He was also the one that laid hands on the people and gifts and set the church in order with workings of miracles, divine healing, gifts of the tongues, interpretation of tongues, that right? 1 Corinthians 12. See what Paul said? 1 Corinthians 12, and you'll find it. He said in the church, God set in the church these great gifts, and Paul set them in order and put them in order so that they would work for the glory of God. Now let me just say this right here. There are seven virtues. Right? But that's the same Holy Spirit. there's nine spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. So there's not seven spirits. See, you'll find out that's what he's saying. Paul said that. Then if any man, no matter what denomination he belongs to, that tries to tell you that today the speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, divine healing and miracles, and the witness of the Holy Ghost as the baptism, let him be accursed. For the same spirit that was upon Paul will be the same spirit that was sent to the next church age. The same to the next church age. And the same on down until to the end of the church age. The same spirit, the Holy Spirit. You believe that? If you notice this, this is wrote here, the writer knowed, seven spirits. Now look back in your Bible and you'll see what I'm talking about. Seven is a little letter, spirits is big. Look in your Bible, verse 1 of the third chapter. All right. Watch, capital S, Holy Spirit. Only one of them. The same Holy Spirit coming seven times to all seven church ages bearing the same light. Get it now. Seven church ages, seven times this Holy Spirit would carry this same message, which was pronounced a curse to anyone who'd change it. Now, see if that bears with the revelation of the whole thing. He said, whosoever shall take away or add to, the same will be taken, his part out of the book of life. That's the whole thing covered over then. So there's no room for you to jump or squeeze any place else, because that's it. That's what God said. That's what the Spirit said. That's what the church has said. Now, if you try to force any other kind of a doctrine than what Paul taught, it's wrong. The Bible is correct. His life, Jesus said, I'll take his part out of the book of life. Now, you say, what part of the book of life? All right. Just keep right on reading while we're on it. Because I want you to see at least the prophet, what he says about the seven spirits. This is paragraph 88 of the same message, Sardinian Church 8. And now how many know that God is a spirit? Sure, God, the Holy Spirit, God, Father, the Holy Ghost, all the same person. Because Mary was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now, but God used this Holy Spirit in seven different evangelical lights to the church. Seven church ages, you get it? Seven church ages. Now you say, God doesn't do that. Oh yes. Now watch what he goes to. Look, he used the spirit of Elijah. And when Elijah went away, Elisha received a double portion of it. And when Elisha got sick and died, then it come back on John the Baptist. Same thing. Made him act just like Elijah did, living in the wilderness and so forth, and predicted to come in the last days. See, God uses the Spirit right on down. What's he proving? The same Holy Spirit that was on Elijah went on Elisha. Went on John the Baptist. Went on Brother Branham in the last days, and we'll go on the two witnesses. Not seven spirits. It's one spirit and seven manifestations. All right? Now, paragraph 91, same message. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about doing good. Is that right? And the same Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, came right back into the church on the day of Pentecost. Comes right back into the next age. The next age. The next age. And what is it? The same and one self Holy Spirit. Oh, don't you see God above us in the Father, God with us in the Son, God in us in the Holy Ghost? It's three offices, not three gods. See, three titles. See those three titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, belong to that one name, Jesus Christ. Now continue on reading, because it's right in the same paragraph 92. Now watch as we go on. The seven spirits says that he holds, in other words, holds his messengers. Messengers that will be anointed with the Holy Spirit. With this same Holy Spirit that Paul, the first one's anointed with, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, all of them are in his right hand and deriving their power and their light from his right hand. Now, he ascended on high, and Philip said, when he was dying, and Stephen said, I see heavens open and that Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Now, it don't mean that God's got a great big right hand. He's sitting on it, but right hand means the right hand of power and authority. Keep on reading. Paragraph 98, same message. Sardinian Church 8. But the messengers are in his right hand, waiting. Wherever he sends them, they'll speak the same thing. For the Holy Spirit that was in Christ, the Spirit that was in Christ, when he left, he said, a little while in the world, cosmos, the Greek word which means world order, not the earth, the world, the order of the world, will see me no more. Denominations or what more, evermore, will see me no more. Yet you'll see me, the church, the believer, for I, personal pronoun, is right. I'll be with you, even in you, unto the end of the world. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You see it? Then if that was Christ's Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost that did those things, it's Christ's Holy Spirit been pushed out here. Christ's Holy Spirit still holding on in here. Now he's coming down through the church ages, right? Christ's Holy Spirit still holding on here, on down here, and to the end of the world. The same Holy Spirit that filled Paul with the Holy Ghost and the things that he done will fill this one, Irenaeus, full of the Holy Ghost, fill Martin full of the Holy Ghost, fill the rest of them full of the Holy Ghost, and it fills you and I full of the Holy Ghost, and it's a Pentecostal blessing from one church age to the other, Alpha and Omega, the end and the beginning, and all, root and offspring of David, morning star, rose of Sharon, lily of the valley, whatever, whatever more, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he that was, which is, and shall come, the Alpha and Omega, all in all, oh my, that would make me sing. And you see, it's the same Holy Spirit. But here's our problem. But Brother Dale, I just can't see that Martin Luther had the Holy Ghost and smoked a pipe and sat in a smoked a pipe and sat in a pub and drank beer and talked about the Bible. I just can't see that. I deliberately pause. Because people say, I just can't see that Martin Luther had the Holy Spirit. I can't see you had it when you was a Trinitarian. Now what are you going to say? Some of you claim the Holy Spirit before you ever come into message and you're Trinitarians. Right? Well, how could God give you the Holy Ghost and you're a Trinitarian but wouldn't give it to Martin Luther? Is that plain enough? That's why I said I talk like that, because I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings. I just tell the truth. People claim the Holy Spirit and still deny the prophet's message. How can you do that? But see, the prophets one and said it was the Holy Spirit in every church age. But the Holy Spirit can only work according to the amount of words you have. That's why Martin Luther could only come forth and God could only manifest the just shall live by faith. Sure, he taught a lot of the Bible, preached the Bible, and brought it forth. Sure, he had a great understanding of Christ died for our sins. See, you just, what's the problem is people said, I just can't see how that Luther could have the Holy Ghost and be what he was. I can't see how you claim the Holy Ghost and like you are. So is that enough? Yeah, but Brother Dale, you're hateful when you say that. No, I'm just blunt. One of these days at judgment, you'll find out whether that's hateful or not. I dug a man out of a doctrine of polygamy. Dug his church out of a doctrine of polygamy. Because they was getting ready to go home, taking whose wife, whose woman, whose girl was going home with who. And I stood up in a minister's meeting one night and called that thing out. And you know what? That man wouldn't speak to me for 10 years or more. And I saved him from an adulterous act in a church. But yet he turned against me. And he never did come and make that right. Come on. See, that's how far we can claim we are so right. Right. See, when we get over there, everything's going to be made right. Because there's not seven spirits. There's one Holy Spirit. I quoted there a while ago, the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecost, and now sitting in order to come to the Lord Jesus. The same Holy Ghost in every church age, but the Word was what was eaten down. That's why Luther's was an unfulfilled age. We was in a certain church years ago, and a brother got up and he read that, and he said, See, there said Luther was an unfilled age. This sister that was in the church, she said, "Brother, read it again. That it doesn't say unfilled, it says unfulfilled." He was saying Luther and them didn't have nothing. They was unfilled. They had the Holy Ghost for the day they were living, the new birth. Because if not, they're not in the body of Christ. But it was an unfulfilled age. Why? Because it didn't accomplish. It only accomplished a reformation. But yet it was enough to carry on until John Wesley could pick up on it and carry on. And without the new birth of the days of Martin Luther, you didn't have the new birth unless you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit for that age. I know what the prophet taught. Sure, we come back to a fullness of the baptism. But you better agree with him when he said Martin Luther had the Holy Ghost. Because if you don't, you're arguing with him. I can't help it if I'm just so... I've been called intellect by everybody. But it's kind of funny that my intellect can find a lot of things Brother Branham said that a lot of you claim the Holy Ghost and can't even find the quotes for it. What's the matter? Because you go to Walmart and hang out at these places and things like that instead of sitting down and reading your Bible and reading your prophet's message. If I am an intellectual, it's because that I have studied the message and dedicated my life to learning what the prophet had to say, because if there's ever a message, this is the message to condemn all things, but to take us into glory. If I'm an intellectual, praise God. At least it's laying in the cranium cap. Pray for me that the Holy Ghost will quicken it. Because I pray that He'll give you enough gumption to get out of Walmart and stay at home and study some. I thought we believed in one message. You said, "Brother Dale, you get upset." No, I'm not upset. No way. That might be the Holy Spirit someday that you'll find out. But that's your business. That's not mine. But listen. The same Holy Spirit in each church age. Not seven spirits. Now let's read what the prophet said, and then we don't have to read the scripture because you can follow in this reading. Look at number 9 down at the bottom of the page there where we were. Which is page 248 of the church age book. Number 9 on your notes. This same phrase. Now talking about the seven spirits of God. This same phrase is found 4 times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:4. So if you want to follow in your Bible, I'll be slow enough for you to do it. Revelation 1:4. From the seven spirits which are before the throne. Revelation 3:1, which is one we're reading. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits. Revelation 4:5, chapter 4, verse 5. Now to the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Revelation 5:6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits sent forth into all the earth. What is it? 7 spirits. Not spirits like different individual spirits, but the Holy Spirit made manifest through 7 church age messengers. The same Holy Spirit that was on, that Jesus Christ led him, is the same Holy Spirit that leads you, or you don't have the new birth. Now you can have that baptism of the Spirit on your spirit. Right? As anointed ones. But if you got it in the true born-again experience of the soul, it's not an anointing on your spirit. But it is the same Holy Spirit that even anoints the anointed ones. Alright? Let's just read these last two. Alright? Which is still on page 248, number 9. Turn over to the next page. To begin with, we know for a certainty that these verses are not teaching a new contrary doctrine to John 4:24a. God is a spirit. But this is like 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 11, wherein we find one spirit manifesting himself in 9 ways. Thus we know that the seven spirits of God mean it is the one and same Spirit coming forth in a sevenfold way. Now in Revelation 4 and 5, these same seven spirits are called lamps of fire burning before the Lord. Since John always used nothing but Old Testament symbols in Revelation, we go to the Old Testament and find from Proverbs 20 and verse 27 that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. These seven spirits are found to be associated with man. John the Baptist in John 5:34 was called a burning light, which would actually be translated a burning lamp. Again in Revelation 5 and 6, the seven spirits are identified as seven eyes. In Zechariah 4 and 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven which are the eyes of the Lord. It is very evident that the word they refers to men. Thus we see that the eyes of the Lord in this instant are men. Of course, they will be anointed men, full of the Holy Ghost, for God's ministries are not in the power of men, but of the Holy Ghost. Putting our scriptural discoveries together, it is evident that the seven spirits of God refer to the continuous ministry of the same Holy Spirit in the lives of seven men with whom God identifies himself very closely. They're his eyes, they're his lamps. Who these men, these seven men are, can easily be seen because the next phrase calls them the seven stars, which are already known to us as the seven messengers to the seven ages. How beautiful that is. See, the star was meant to reflect light at night, for the sun has gone. Just so the messengers typified as a star to each age was to reflect the light of the sun. They all did this by the Holy Spirit. Right, now here's page 250 of the Church Age book. So we see that the seven spirits actually refer to the one Spirit of God working out the will and Word of God in different generations. I would like to illustrate that from the Word. The Spirit of Elijah was mighty upon Elijah. Then the same Spirit came upon Elisha in a twofold way. Then centuries later, the same Spirit, which we call the Spirit, now this is a repeat, of Elijah in order to describe his ministry, came back upon John the Baptist. One day that same Spirit, identified by the same manner of ministry, will come upon a man for the end of the Gentile church age. Again, the Scripture says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. As Jesus went away, he told his disciples to tarry until Pentecost, at which time the very same Spirit that was upon him would come back and fall upon them and fill them. Then that called out body, the church, would be in his stead upon the earth, taking his place. And because that same Spirit that was in him would be in them, they would do the very same works. And any people that is truly the body of Jesus Christ, the true church, will manifest the same works as did Jesus and the Pentecostal church, because the same Spirit will be in them. Any other church that does not have the Spirit and a manifestation is going to have to account to God. One Holy Spirit manifested through gifts, nine spiritual gifts, but one Holy Spirit. Seven virtues, but one Holy Spirit. Seven lampstands, but one Holy Spirit. See? It's the same Spirit made manifest. Alright, so put the title, Brother Al. Seven Spirits, that'll be fine. Manifesting itself down through each church age. Now somebody comes along and tells you that, well, I just don't believe Luther and them had anything. You just give them the quotes. I gave them to you. Let them argue about it with Brother Branham. There's no need of arguing and fussing with anybody. A big man in this message stood right here in the church years ago, and I had just previously, about 2 hours before then, talked to him about, and he said that the day of Pentecost, Azusa Street. Now, Azusa Street Pentecost was false. Of course, he's a man in this message that they said couldn't preach error. And I called his hand down in the schoolhouse at Gillsville. We was having a supper, and I said, Brother Branham said it was the same Holy Ghost in each church age. I went through a whole line of the quotes from Brother Branham to the brother. He come right here to the church. Brother Moat let him preach that night. He come right here and he stood right here, and if we had the old tape, I could prove it. He stood right here and said, Azusa Street Pentecost was false. Of course, he claimed he couldn't preach error. Well, it's no problem with me. That's his problem. I just believe the same Holy Ghost that was in each church age was the same Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ lived upon earth. And that Holy Spirit here was to lead into God. And that church, each messenger got a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ from that Holy Spirit. And then that Holy Spirit took that message inside that man and went forth as the message to the age, preaching through that man. Well, I just can't see how it was in Martin Luther. I can't see it how it could be in you. Sorry. That's just blunt. But is it the truth? See, if we reject the Word, how can we say it's the Holy Spirit? Well, I just don't believe the way you bring it, Brother Dale. Well, come and show me where I missed it at. That invitation is on the internet or anywhere. And until this day, we've been on the internet for about 3 or 4 years now, and nobody has sent me word where I was wrong. You say, well, you're just a smart aleck. They know you're a smart aleck and won't listen to them. I'll listen to anybody. But then I wait on the Holy Spirit. Because the same Holy Spirit that brought the message through Brother Branham, it's got to come through the fivefold ministry to break the message down to the people. The same Holy Spirit that's through Brother Branham and fivefold ministry got to be in the people to understand the message. So it's the same Holy Spirit. It's not seven Holy Spirits. No more than there's 9 gifts. No more than there's 5 comings of Elijah. All of it is the same Holy Ghost manifesting itself through the age. Come on, Brother Boyd. But you see, Brother Ryan said that was the key for him to find the church age messengers was the messenger that was the closest related to the Apostle Paul. Is that right now? All right. The closest to related to the Apostle Paul. Well, Martin Luther was chosen for to be the messenger. Why? Because he preached the just shall live by faith. Not because he preached the Catholic Church was okay. Not because he even taught a Trinity like the church did, no, but it's because he taught the just shall live by faith. But that was the light to strike the bride of that age and start a reformation. And today I stand upon Martin Luther's message of the just shall live by faith and declare unto you and I, we've got to get away from our works as a form of salvation. Get your works as the point that it follows your salvation. Because I've talked to people that say, well, I know I'm going to be there because I so-and-so. No, I'm going to be there because God makes me capable of being there. I'm going to be there because He saves me. See, I'm trying my best to get rid of that Catholic doctrine. You say, you never was a Catholic, Brother Dale. The Baptist wasn't no different. In the Baptist, as long as you come to church every service, as long as you paid your tithe and things, and you got them little gold stars for attendance, and you paved the parking lot, or you put new pews in, come on, church. I've seen homosexuals paint churches and they almost preached them into heaven for paint. That was before I got in the message. But listen, church, it's the same Holy Spirit. That's why I don't worry about doctrines coming into this church, because the Holy Spirit is going to keep it from coming. You may not agree with what I preach, but there's one thing about it. Show me where it ain't in the Word. Show me where I missed the revelation of the Word. Yeah, but you're just so stubborn. Amen. I'm just made that way. But you show me where that's not right as far as leading of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't just put up with everything. Because you let things start slipping in. and they'll just start bringing in more and more. That's what's kept it from it. I've had to address issues to keep things from coming into this church, and I will keep on addressing issues to keep doctrine. At least you'll keep them quiet. It won't convert you, but you'll be quiet about it. When those 300 ministers that come to Brother Branham when he had that meeting up there, you remember, where he preached, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly visions," and preached about the water baptism and challenged them, you know. If you'll listen to him, they must have been some more well of a group of people, or he's telling two or three different accounts. Because one time he said, and I was just listening to him yesterday, sitting on a deer stand, I carry my iPod, and I got it in one ear and my game ear in the other one to try to amplify where I can hear anything else, but I'm listening to Brother Branham, and I sat there, and he was talking about those ministers. He said he read his scripture, and I was not disobedient. He said one third got up and walked out. All right? He said, "I only said just a few words, and two-thirds of them were gone." Now, that's the way he said it. I can find you the quote. Well, evidently, if there was 300, because you remember, that was the rest of the statement. They came to him and said, "Brother Branham, we got 300 ministers. We want the tapes of what you taught on that." He said, "But not a one of them ever come back and got baptized." You see how strong organizational religion is then. But yet they had to stand in the face of the prophet, is my point, and they agreed with what he said. But when they walked out the door, the old buddy, the devil, jumped right on their back. Brother Brown said he just announced his text. And he said a third of the people walked out. You know, those preachers walked out of there, "Bless God, I'm led of the Holy Ghost. I ain't putting up with this," because he's talking about himself. They have to answer to that, you know, for that. But, oh, they was led of the Holy Spirit to get up and walk out. That's what they thought. What do you think about the Holy Spirit? Tammy Faye Baker said that she asked the Holy Ghost, their father, was it all right to paint her face? And said, "He didn't answer me." Well, what have you asked him that you said he didn't tell you? How many of you ever asked him, "Brother, Lord, is Brother Dale's attitude wrong? Sometimes it looks like it is." What was the answer? I whipped my kids very few times, but I did whip them. And you know, at the time I was whipping them, they sure didn't like it. Right? And they didn't think I was right. But it took about 30 years later, they come back and said, "Daddy, thank you." Right? Because they realized what I was trying to do. Let's stand. Number 38 in the spiral book. Oh, Lord. Heard thy voice. Anybody have a need? To me. But I long to rise in the arms of and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me near, near a blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of thy divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be long. You have a need, come and let's believe. Draw me near, near a blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single that before thy throne I spent. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune, friend with friend. Draw me near, near a blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, near, near a blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross. Evidently they must have understood there's going to be a message of cheer down through the endless ages. An eternal partaking of the word, the prophet said. Till I rest. Remember the service this afternoon. You're dismissed. Near a blessing.